Okay, NARC Playbook 101, let's continue, shall we? I'm going to share things that I have learned through therapy about narcissistic personality disorder, narcissistic behavior, if you find yourself on the receiving end of behavior that's like no other. You're not able to explain it. You can't figure it out. It feels like you're in a really strange fog. If someone falls under like a loved one, a family member, it's even worse because you don't expect this kind of behavior. You don't know what it is. What did I do? What did I do? Why did I deserve this? What's going on? You're looking behind your back. What the heck's going on? It could be a spouse. It could be a boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, best friend. Let's just face it. Anybody can be a narc. I mean, there's not like a face except for a mask, because when you realize you're dealing with a narc, the person that you thought you were connected to or whatever situation, it's not the person that appeared in front of you. And you start to realize the person that appeared in front of you was like just a facade, just a mask. It was just like hiding behind this face, visual, but that's not who they really were. It's some crazy ass strange behavior. This isn't like dealing with somebody who's not, you know, is in a bad mood, had a bad day, or somebody who, you know, is going through, you know, they lost all their stocks or something, you know, and I mean, the company that folded, and I mean, there's all sorts of things going on right now in 2023, you know, going through global warming, you know, something that deal with the environment things, a tragedy. This is not what I'm talking about. These are kind of people, narcissistic people, narcs. Are very, very dark energy people. You don't feel good around them. You feel strange. You feel off. You leave like the environment when you're around somebody, especially if they've been doing it for a long time. Their behavior has continued for a long time, and it's gotten only darker and worse over time. They carry a really strange energy, and it's not a good one. It's very negative. It's very dark. Like I said, mental health causes it, you know. They believe that people narcissistic are very demon, cult-like, very dark energy. Some people call them the devil, whatever. It's just not good. When you start bouncing that energy off of somebody's narcissistic, it's like bouncing off of plexiglass. You know, you're bouncing off of something. You just can't figure out what the hell am I going through. And you know, a narcissistic has done a smear campaign and had done it for a long time, because I was the smear campaign. It happened to me for a long time because I didn't know what the hell I was dealing with. I was dealing with my health. And I realized I could not fight two battles. A group of narcs wasn't just one. It was a group. It was a circle. It was the cult, whatever you want to call it. And then I was dealing with my health. Serious issues with my health. I'm rushed to oncology doing these treatments, and I'm dealing with them. This group, these people that I realized I have no idea who the hell they are. The thing is, now I'm on the other side, the flip side, and have learn so much valuable information, and knowledge is key, and it's not just a saying, it's a truth, from a trauma therapist who deals firsthand with patients who have sustained abuse from narcissistic behavior, from people who are narcissistic. Narcissistic personality disorder is the mental health terminology of it, and not knowing what they're dealing with. You come out on the side and you realize, I don't even know who the hell this person was or these individuals, because you always got to remember, a narc hangs around nothing but narcs. If they're hanging around somebody in the middle, it's because they're feeling them out. They don't know if they're narc or they're an empath. If they're dealing with somebody who's another narc, of course, they want to bring them on their dark side, okay? But that narc's probably already got their circle. It's going to be really a power struggle whether they're going to bring another narc over to their narc circle. And really, sometimes that's about the flying monkeys, where flying monkeys come into play, no pun intended, which are just the lesser. Flying monkeys are like the less on the totem pole of narcs, because you always have the head snake, which is the anarchy, and then you have the less superior, which is the step down, and then you have, of course, your flying monkeys who are being recruited, but really they're being trained. They're very less, they're like the last of the value of totem pole, and these flying monkeys know that they're being taken advantage of, and they know that what they're being put up to is not okay. Here, let me say this to the flying monkeys: you got put up to things and you did it to me. You knew what you were doing was not okay. But really, the question you have to ask yourself in the mirror every time you look in it is, why'd you do it? If you know your behavior was your choice and it wasn't okay, why did you continue being a flying monkey? Why were you doing things that you were put up to when you weren't feeling good about it? There's no cleansing, spiritual cleansing, or anything that's going to stop or get rid of what you did. You have to come face to face with the projection of the person you did it to. That's me. And you have to come face to face and explain of what I know, verbatim, word to word, and apologize. Because that's the only way. Because I'm not going to be in the same breath, air, or anything. I will evade and void for the rest of my life. You know? It puts in a question, if somebody said, what do you do in a funeral settings? What do you do in funeral settings? When you cross the narcissistic person, group, cult, circle, whatever you want to call it, what do you do? Do you put yourself in that kind of setting, a funeral setting? That's the toughest question that I have, that I've worked with therapy. Excuse me, is what do you do in a situation, a funeral setting? You want to put yourself around anyone who has literally done an onslaught of slander, maliciously slander, lie, 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 slander, slander, slander behind your back. You get around the people who got the slander fest. You don't even know what's going on. And you're getting some really off-putting, strange behavior. I'm going to give you examples. I live in an area surrounded by casinos. I'm going to say I was with Eric because I'm going to say I was with Eric. I ran into two people that were connected to me. I literally said hi, and it was nothing like, you know, our relationship, although the times that, you know, and they're connected, I'm just going to say, you know, for respect, because they have passed away. They passed away. I never had a chance to even, I mean, I had every chance, didn't have a chance to say goodbye, because the narc made sure that I wasn't going to. They made sure that I wasn't around and I wasn't going to be around, period. Because there's no way they wanted me to divulge the other side of what's going on, which is my side. And they made sure of it, any which way but loose. They didn't care, fabricated nothing. They didn't care. That's the truth. I never got that chance. That was healing to get to that, because I started not getting Christmas cards. It was a slow, weird thing. Then when I ran across two, because, you know, narcissistic people, and they work as a group, we'll do a slander fest, an onslaught, when you least expect it. I was going through treatments and sick. It was prime opportunity, and they had a lot of time to do it, let's just say. For people who now get like, okay, now I get it, why you didn't speak up. Well, first of all, you should have came to me and asked. You know, that's your decision, and that's you. Why didn't you come to me? When you start hearing things and things aren't weird, you're seeing things, wouldn't you want to go to the person? I mean, maybe because I'm an empath. I'm not going to judge anything or jump to any conclusions. But if something don't look right, it ain't looking right. Period. And if somebody's going to slander somebody and talk poorly of them in front of group settings, especially around holidays and stuff, I'm not going to sit back and just sit there and believe what somebody's going to say. Especially if it continues over and over again. Where is this person? What's going on? This makes no sense. And should I not reach out and get the other side? See, that's the problem with society, as I was told by a therapist, is people don't want to deal with the narc. They see this behavior and projection of what they're doing to their target. They don't want to be that target. They don't want to get involved. So what do? They don't bother. But then you're a hypocrite and judgmental, because you just judge the person who has no idea this is going on behind their back. That's the target. That's the person that the narc group, they're aiming at. Aim fire, aim fire, aim fire. They'll do everything they can. They'll go to everyone they can. They'll hire, research, whatever they got to do. They'll find out everyone, anything, career, I mean, employer, neighbors, friends, relation, you know? If they can pay your current relationship, whether you're married, engaged, boyfriend, girlfriend, they can pay them off to get any information about who's and who's and who. Well, a person that truly loves you is going to stop it real quick and go, why are you asking me this stuff? I'm not. And then they're going to come to you. Somebody who is not in a relation for love and as a relationship is just using you. Okay? I don't care if you're married or what your situation is. That's not a real relationship. That's just blatant disrespect. You don't do that stuff. You're supposed to protect one another, no matter what kind of relationship. And a narc will taint and poison any kind of relationship you have, because they want to find all this information about you. What better way to go to your current love interest, marriage, you know, relationship, That's the first that they'll find their way to do it, you know? Normal people that know this stuff's going on, they see it, they're thinking, wow, they're doing this behind their back. Imagine what they do to me. Well, I'm just not going to say anything. But see, as true my therapist said, it's not right, because that's being a hypocrite, you know? You should always give people the benefit of the doubt to hear both sides and not be judgmental hypocrite and just go to one. Especially when it's really malicious stuff, really slanderous stuff, and it's, most of it is not true. Or they're given the backside, which is when you're a projection and you're the target, your response is what a narc and a group of narcs is going to give, is your response. And let's face it, I've done a lot of screaming to get my narcs to stop, because it was literally hurting my health. The stress was literally hurting my health. It caused a lot of problems with my health. It's a liability, okay? In the legal sense, it's a liability. When you intentionally do things, and when somebody's going through things with their health that are extreme, and you're doing things that jeopardize their health, it's a liability. It's intentional behavior. A narcissistic person that hangs around narcissistic people, a narcissistic group, whatever you want to call it, they know exactly what they're doing. They know their behavior. They know exactly what they're doing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Unless you have a brain tumor, dementia, Alzheimer's, or something that affects the way that you think in your memory, there's no excuse. You know the behavior you're doing. You can't cleanse, or you can't do nothing to get rid of what you've done. You have to go to the person that you hurt. Or you live with that for the rest of your life. That's your conscience and your guilt. Period. Normal people, when you do things to people that are really, really hurtful and intentional, and your projection knows and has everything, and the facts, you know, normal people in society, normal human beings, you know, God gives you a heart for a reason, you know, is going to want to make things right. But a narc doesn't. A narc does not feel they owe an apology. Even when they've been had, they don't feel they owe an apology. They will evade, avoid. They will literally say, and this is a classic statement from a narc, any narc you run into, and they've done something to you, and you confront them. Hey, listen, I don't care how you confront them, which way but loose. You run into them by accident, whatever, on the phone, through third party, whatever. Listen, you did this. I can't believe you did that. What are you talking about? Oh, that's the past. That's the past. Oh, my God. I don't live in the past. Oh, my God. That's not normal. That's not normal behavior from normal people. Only narcissistic people with a narcissistic personality trait with narcissistic behavior act like that. Nobody in right frame of mind on face this earth acts like that. When you do things that are so hurtful that can jeopardize people's lives, their health, their mental health, and doing things that are behind their back, you take away their right to happiness, friends, a normal life, you know? Narcs will interfere with your right, you know, to have a family. Yeah. They interfered with my stepson. That's the truth. They probably hope I would have passed away before divulging this fact. They went to my in-laws behind my back while I'm sick. Oh, she wouldn't make a good stepmother because she lays on the couch all the time. She lays around all the time. I was sick. You weren't around it. Because that's your choice. That's your response to your behavior. That's not normal. That's not normal. Sorry, you can use excuse all you want. It's not normal. But you literally did that? You don't do that. Especially to someone that you knew went through reproductive health to have kids. I had surgeries to try to repair things to have kids. And you maliciously stole it behind my back to my in-laws and told them I wouldn't make a good stepmother because I'm laying around all the time. At that time, this tumor, they had 7 years to grow from a piece of microscopic fragment that was left behind from an ovary being removed that pathology had, that grew back. And this huge mass developed as a secondary complication, which is a third complication from secondary to surgery. And you know, I was going through all this, and then you went behind my back? You know, protected a step kid, you know, protected that young man. I still pushed myself to do things, even when I felt like hell, and I'd be like, we don't have to go. No, I want to go. I want to go. I made sure he stayed with Eric's family while I'm not feeling good. Or there was this craziness that I realized you were causing. And I shielded him from the crazy, from all the craziness. And a decision with the child psychologist in Ohio is not have him around me when I'm really sick. So he can have the best life, a normal life, and play sports and be around friends and be around his cousins, you know, on Eric's side. And, you know, although I sometimes second thought guess myself, I don't now. Because I'm on the logical side. I went through the emotional part, but you did that. You did that. You selfishly played a part in taking my right to be a stepmother, a parental role model, whatever you want to call it. This is what I'm saying, how malicious, narcissistic people get. And they gang up, and you got the little flying monkeys that do dirty work. Flying monkeys do the dirty work. You know why? Because the head snake doesn't want to do the dirty work. They direct the lower anarchy, right beneath them, the baton, torch, whatever you want to say, next in line, whatever. Okay? But then they will play and have the flying monkeys do sub work, testing, looking, retrieving information. You know, because they don't want to get in trouble or things either. So everybody's protecting one another. See, narcs protect themselves, but then they're connected with nothing but narcs. But they'll put that narc on the chopping block before themselves, because narcissistic people are the most selfish people and the most egotistical people you'll ever meet. Narcissistic, egotistical. That's all I knew about it. I didn't know a covert narc. Covert narc. The innocent narc. The one that's the most guilty of all, per my therapist in Ohio, the most guiltiest narc of all is the one that sits back and acts like they didn't do anything. Oh, I know part of it. But they know everything that's going on. They're covert. They want to make themselves look, oh, I didn't do anything, to the society and the public, or those that know them. But what those that know them and don't understand is what they are agreeing to and watching go behind the scenes of the person or persons that the narcs and the group and the circle and the cult, whatever you call it, are projecting on and hurting the hell out of. And these individuals sit back and act like they're not doing anything because, oh, I'm really not involved. But they know everything that's going on. That's a covert narc. I want to talk about covert narc. They're the most guilty damning of all. They sit back. They don't want to know. Don't bother me. Don't stress me out. And the other narcs have to bow down to this covert narc. It makes you question, as my trauma therapist said, who's leading? Who's the dictatorship of all? Is it the head snake narc? Is it the lower one that's going to hand over? Or is it the superior that's up here hiding in the palace that you don't see, but in the public eye is a great person? Oh, great person. Until they do something that shows them they're not great. It takes one time to slip up for a true empath in normal society to go, that ain't right. That ain't right. I had the narc slip up. The narc slipped up to my oncologist, a specialty oncologist. They slipped up. The oncologist questioned, I don't understand their decision. Where are they at? I don't know. I met them. Where are they at? Not here. Every time. Every treatment. I had a team, oncology team, and oncologists that were from out of state. And every time, at the end of the sessions when I was done, the first thing that oncologist looked at me and said is, I'm very disappointed in this person. Because they portrayed to be this great person, but to not be there for you, that's not okay. And I'm sorry this happened to you, but I don't agree with it. You know? It's sad. And those are exact words I used. I'm not joking. They used more words. I just keep it there. That's a covert narc. They play innocent, but they're anything but. They can be, as sometimes my psychologist in Ohio is, they're sometimes, in his opinion, the worst of all the narcs. They're the biggest perpetrator because they're standing back doing nothing. But when they do something, they slip up. It's great. And it doesn't go unscathed and unnoticed. It definitely goes noticed. And not by the projection, by the person that they're, you know, they know what's going on. It's from the public that they're portraying this persona and they slip up and the mask fell off. And it drops right in front of them. They won't talk about it. They'll avoid it. If you're the projection and you try to confront, hey, listen, this is, I found this out, they will evade, avoid, hang up the phone, remove themselves, not talk to you, get rid of you, replace you, whatever. They don't care what they say. They don't care. Because they don't care about you. But see, don't you understand? That's narcissism in general. A narc can't care about anybody. Because all they care about is themselves. They have no capability to love. They have no capability to care for anybody sick. Because they don't care. It's a chosen behavior. We all know what we're doing. Unless you have a brain tumor, Alzheimer's, dementia, or something that affects your mental, way of thinking and thought process, there is no excuses but excuses. That's a covert narc. Covert narc plays innocent. They didn't do anything. They're involved. They're involved. Oh, yes, they are. They're in that epiphany. They're in that group, cycle, circle, cult, however you want to call it, mental health world, whatever they call it. But they act like they're not. But they slip up. Out of all the powers of the narcs and the titles of the narcs, from the flying monkeys and this and this and this to the snakes to the, when they slip up, it's the greatest slip up of all. They trump the head snake, which controls the whole narc. Narcissism, whatever, village, community, whatever, however you want to say it, because narcs hang around narcs. But the covert narc does the greatest slip up of all, because when they slip up, they do it to the people that they're trying to portray to be this great person, and they're not. It's just a facade. These are people who sustained some serious something going on, okay? They didn't get the mental health. For my therapist, they didn't get the mental health they needed. There's things that have happened in covert narcs. Things that should definitely be addressed in a therapist's office. And these people hate therapists. They will never, ever. No, you can drag them. Okay? But they're going to drag themselves right back out. You cannot treat people like that. It's just the way it is. A covert narc is just impossible. And it wasn't just him. It was a therapist in Ohio. It literally said they're impossible to treat. If anyone, as Ohio felt, you can't treat a narc. When they do it for a long time and they keep getting more narcs into the circle, you get the little flying monkeys, Flying monkeys do the dirty work. Flying monkeys do the dirty work, okay? They're not seasoned. They haven't been doing it for a long time. They're the ones that retrieve the information. They play nice to you. They're asking questions about their target. Makes no sense. And then you think, well, why are you bringing them up? I never, I don't hear you, I don't see him, I don't hear you talk about why you bring him up, that's where normal society goes, this isn't right. But they see what's going on, but they don't want to get involved. Like I say, normal society, they don't want to be involved. They see what a narc, green circle of narc, group of narc, cult, whatever you want to say, no matter where you are around the world, because narcissism is every nook and cranny around the world. Normal society don't want to get involved. They're going to do a slow drift. I believe my therapist when they say slow. When he says slow drift, they do the slow drift. You don't see it, but it happens. They do a slow drift. They don't want to be the projection because they see what happens to projection. They have seen it firsthand. And they know it's not normal. They don't want to be involved. So they do the drift. They just listen. Yeah, you know about so-and-so? Yeah. Yeah, it's strange. I mean, they're crazy. Oh my God, they're sick and they're crazy and blah, blah, blah. And here's normal society. Oh. And they just listen. Because they don't know what to say. It's shocking, depending sometimes who narcs are to normal society. And they're seeing this stuff happen. A slander fest. An onslaught of some serious malicious behavior. To just literally hurt somebody that has no idea what's going on behind their back. And then they get around people who have literally been brainwashed or fogged. Poof, and they believe in this stuff. And then you are the projection. You get around people. Like I got around two of them at a casino. With Eric. And it wasn't the normal. Like, hey, how you doing? I didn't get it. I literally walked away and told Eric, that was the strangest thing I've ever seen. He's never met these people. He's like, well, who are they? I told him he was who they were to me. He's like, why do you act like that? I said, I don't know. That's the weirdest thing ever. Don't you know? I contacted the head snake of the narc. Now that I know I was dealing with. Oh, it's just probably nothing to worry about. Of course it wasn't, because you literally were part of the problem of not even giving me a chance to breathe, making me out to be the worst human being in the world without me even knowing it. Couldn't you at least allow me and did it in front of a table of everyone and let me say my side? But you didn't. And then people who deal with this behavior, and the most bravest thing, as my trauma therapist said, my disability attorney, the bravest thing somebody can do that has dealt with narcissistic abuse is to literally speak up and tell your story and tell your truth. Because a narc does not want you to do that. They want you to shut down, lay down, die down, whatever. They don't want you to expose what they've done. It is the most brave thing as a human being you'll ever do in your life, is to tell the truth. I'm gonna have to say my narcs were probably hoping it would go and die with me in the crematory. It's not gonna happen. Yeah. Because there's a lot of people who have dealt with narcissistic abuse. And that's what's called narcissistic behavior. It's abuse. It's mental brainwashing, manipulation, playing games, making fun of. I got a text message one time. I'm sitting there literally busting my ass doing leave. So we had like 17 hours last year. I wasn't thinking, okay? This was like in the beginning of therapy, of trauma therapy. I was still in the emotional side of what I went through. And I literally had a flying monkey make fun of the fact that it was literally me taking hours and then say, have fun! On text. I still have it. That's not normal. If somebody knows what you've gone through, they know you're struggling with your health and you're struggling, and to make fun of a normal person per therapist and disability attorney is they roll up their sleeves, they get their butt in a car, and they come over and help. You don't make fun of somebody, especially who they were. That's not normal. But then they did something worse, and I got to read it all. And that was a sad day. That emotionally affected me. You want to talk about somebody taking a knife and just cutting right through you, sear right through you with a hot knife? Knives? What I read with an attorney? I don't think I'll ever have words to describe it. You know, it's paperwork that it's like, what do you do with it? You know? Someone who had went with me yesterday to the hospital and to my specialist and that, you know, as they said, what do you do with that stuff? Because, you know, they had read some of it, but as they said, you know, I'm giving this stuff back. I'm gonna be honest with you, because me and so and so and so and so, we couldn't read it. It made us sick, because this should never happen. This is just, it's horrible. You know, I can't read it. This is not okay. You didn't deserve any of this. What the heck? What the heck, Kim? What do you do with it? I would like to personally pay for a crematory to take all the paperwork before I know my time's up. And I'm gonna know my time's up. You know, I had pretty in-depth appointments yesterday, and I know what I'm facing, and I'm gonna know when my time's coming soon. Okay. It's up to me. I'd prefer to have all that paperwork just put in a crematory machine and burned, incinerated. I would like to take the ashes from the paper of what would be left, but I don't know, there's a lot, so it probably would be at least something, and give it to a priest in Ohio and have them do a blessing or something of it and dispose of it. It sounds far-fetched, but what I went through is even more far-fetched. I do not want any of the paperwork, any more in my possession than I need to be. And when I pass away, I don't want it left over. I'd rather have something seen done with it beforehand, before my time's up, because it was that bad. I had attorneys say it's just better you not to know. But really, in reality, I'm glad I did make the choice to know, because I needed to know every last word. I needed to know. Yeah, I didn't know his stuff. You know, I'm too busy dealing with this, with my health, with oncology, and all the stuff's going on. And then I wonder why these two people were acting strange at the casino. I stopped getting Christmas cards. I don't understand what I did. What did I do? What I needed to do for trauma therapists is you needed to make a phone call and you needed to send a letter and ask the people, what is going on? But you did not know what you were dealing with. And that is the problem. But that's not your fault, Kim. But now you know. Now you know something's weird. You ask somebody. Somebody acts weird towards you, you ask them. What's going on? You know? A normal person could tell you? Well, let me explain. Okay? Because this has happened already. Not okay. You know? Like I said, I was explaining covert narc. That's a covert narc. They act like they're not doing anything. But they're part of the mix. They're right there. Physically there and part of the mix. But they act like they ain't nothing. Nobody bother them. They're part of the mix. They're not the solution. They're part of the problem. We don't act like to people. Oh, God, no. Mm-mm. They don't act like that to people. You just don't. You don't. It's just not okay. I mean, the whole point of releasing all this stuff, this is all fact. This is the truth. There's nothing made up. There's nothing fictional. I wish I could say this is just all just imagination. It's not, because there's proof. There's documented proof. It's not a joke. It's not made up. But don't expect a narc. When the masks fall off, then they know that's it. It's divulged. Don't expect a narc to apologize to you, because they're not. Because they're going to be pissed as hell. They're going to be pissed as hell. They didn't want you to say anything. They wanted you to either. In my situation, I feel like they just wanted me to die with it. Okay? No. Because sometimes you got to get patterns to stop. There's cycles that have to stop per trauma therapist. And somebody has to be the person to break the cycle. And you hope that it breaks the cycle. And the cycle stops of behavior, how we don't treat one another. Especially certain people that you don't treat like. It's not okay. It's not human. It's not normal. It's not somebody has a heart. Somebody's got to break the cycle. You know? It's the bravest thing you'll ever do if you're on that receiving end from somebody who is narcissistic. And they're going to be around narcissistic people. And I'm telling you, they get opportunity, they're going to gang up. And when they start sensing that you're on to it, they're going to really go all full on out on you. And it's not going to be fun. It's going to be the most brutal thing you'll ever go through. It will mess with you, with your psyches. It'll mess with you emotionally, mentally, oh God, physically. You got to be a strong ass person to take it. And I took it for years. And it wasn't easy. Now, if I did not have a trauma therapist who is well-versed and expertise is in narcissism, and people who have dealt with things like this, and to literally get down and dirty and explain the logical side, the educational side of what's a covert narc, what's a flying monkey, what's a head snake, what's narcissism, what's a narcissistic personality disorder, what's a narcissistic cult, group, circle. And literally take what you're going through, and God went through this. Okay, I'm explaining what happened. I wouldn't be able to speak. First of all, I would not be able to speak freely without breaking down crying. Why haven't I? I've went through my fair share of crying. I went through it. I went through it last Christmas. On a podcast, I took it down. But that was real. That was emotion. That was the last, my therapist said, and who saw, and I gave that video, as they said, that was the last of your emotion of what you went through by the hands of these people. That was the last of your emotion. And you set yourself, literally as your podcast said, set yourself, free yourself, you did. And then it became a logical side. And there's no emotional side left. I don't have any emotional side to what happened to me left. I'm all logic, education, but also helping other people. So if you're going through things that you make sense and understand, so it doesn't get so extreme, it comes too late and starts affecting you, especially if you're dealing with chronic illness, heaven forbid, or cancer, patient oncology, before it starts really affecting you internally. And it could cause real, real serious big time problems. It could be fatal. If somebody constantly stresses you the hell out and putting you on fight or flight mode and they're sitting back laughing about it and think it's funny and then they gang up, your body of what it does during fight or flight mode, you don't even want to begin to know. That stuff can literally cause some severe damage to nerves, irreversible. It affects parts of your brain. It's not just saying it. It's clinically proven. It's not okay. I say is for society, you know, and you're listening and you know you're around a narc or narcs and they're doing this game and the other person and they're doing it and you're standing there, you know, instead of bowing out. And sometimes you just need to stand up and go, why are you doing this? Why are you talking about this person? Why are you saying this? I mean, this is, what are you doing? This is weird. You know, instead of doing slow drift, maybe sometimes in society, we have to speak up. You know, that's what stops bullying too in school, is when people speak up. Speak up to the bully. Speak up. You know, don't stand back. Don't join the bandwagon. Don't have people pay you off, smooth you, whatever. However you call it, the narcs do. You know, when they want to get information and they want to bring people over to their side. And, you know, it's not a Star Wars movie, although I wish, like to wish I'd say it was, but it wasn't. It's not. It's real when I went through, you know. I wish people just stop it, you know, before it gets to that point. But unfortunately, we're in a society where people don't want to get involved. They don't want to be the projection. They don't want it to happen to them. So they just choose, as my therapist said, to not say anything at all. And that doesn't help the situation. You're not helping it at all. There's no help there. Not okay. You know? I'll continue on about narcissistic personality disorder. I'm not going to stop. It's some of the most damning, cruel behavior you'll ever go through in your life. The longer it goes on and you not know, and you're in that fog state. Fog means you have no idea what's going on. I was in, as was clinically told by a mental health, two mental health providers, you were in a fog. It's narcissistic fog. You didn't know what narcissism was. You didn't understand it. You went through the emotional part. It took a long time. It took a long, long time, many years. And now you've been the past couple of years, the logical part. And your education and knowledge only gets stronger from here, and it has. I've went through a lot to where some would say that I have a great wall of protection. I can sense BS off of people. I can tell people were fibbing. When people are fibbing, I can tell people are lying. I can tell when somebody's trying to pull a fast one on me. I know all the flags. I wish I didn't have to go through it to know all the flags, but I'm damn glad that I have come out on the other side educated and I know what to look out for. And I'm talking about people in general. I don't care what the situation is. I just wish some people passed away. I had a chance to explain my side. I never had a chance. You know, you can only hope in heaven that they can still hear us. Because if they can, now they know.